Please bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord God, as you gather us, we now ask that you speak to us through the scripture and through the many voices through whom you will speak this morning. May you open our hearts and our minds to hear from you and to receive a taste of your love and your goodness. And Holy Spirit, as you came that Pentecost day, we ask you to come in a special way, even here this morning in this place, that we might experience your loving presence and allow you to minister to us on this day. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us," and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in a Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to share just a couple things about this passage and then a few things from my life. First, you'll see the theme in Psalm 126, this theme of restoration. And I love that word. And it speaks to God being the one who's in the midst of restoring all things. And we get a vision of that even in Revelation as it talks about what God will one day finally do in the fullness of the kingdom. And yet we're in this time through the ministry of the Holy Spirit where we are in the midst of this restoration taking place. Now, when we talk this morning about the healing ministry and the way God is bringing healing to us and to the nations, I want you to bear in mind this word restoration, because it all begins with this premise that we are created and called by God to be in relationship with God, to be in healthy relationship with one another, to be in healthy relationship with ourselves. In other words, to view ourselves in the same way that God views us, and to be in healthy relationship with creation itself as we live and live into our purpose and live alongside the restoration of creation. And so when we talk about healing, it's all of these things. It's being restored in that relationship with the Lord to experience the fullness of that. It's being restored to our relationship with one another as the Lord brings healing there. It's to be restored with our relationship with ourselves, who we're often the hardest on. It's to be restored with our relationship with creation and understanding the good purposes that God has created us to live into within creation itself. And so this healing journey is about restoration. Restoration of heart, mind, soul, and strength. Restoration of our physical, our spiritual, our emotional, our mental health. It's all-encompassing and includes all of these things. And I love in Psalm 126, it talks about how God has restored Zion. It's celebrating something that has already happened. Restored them so that they are like those who dream. What an incredible verse. Have you ever been that place in your life where you just can't dream anymore? It's like, yeah, once I had dreams, but those are gone. And you get this sense in this psalm that God's people are coming together and saying, God has restored us in such a way that we can dream again. They're filled with laughter and shouts of joy, and God is glorified through this among the nations. And so there's a sense in these first three verses that they can celebrate what the Lord has done. And yet in this short psalm, there's a transition in verse 4 through 6, where they are seeking prayers that the Lord will restore them. Whether they're currently in another time of distress or they just know that one day they will be again, they ask that the Lord will restore their fortunes. Like water courses, these are the dry beds that we would find in the desert. But dry beds that in the midst of rain and storms fill with water and become streams. This image of that which is dry, the Lord will bring renewal. Where there is sowing and tears, shouts of joy will come. Where there is weeping, there will once again be shouts of joy. And so again, prayers for their present situation and future situation that God will restore, will work through the sorrow and the tears and the weeping to bring joy to the people. And so what I love about this psalm amongst these things is that there's both a celebration of what God has done and a prayer for what God is and will do. And that's in many ways what we want to do here this morning. We want to celebrate the ways that God is using this particular ministry of healing care in our lives. And I'll bring you up to date on some of those ways. But we also want to get a glimpse of how we envision God using this ministry into the future. And we want to pray about and for that. Because we remain in a broken world, filled with broken people. And there will be days when we weep and have sorrow. Days that are filled with tears. Both personally, through our congregation, and certainly throughout the world. And so we want to pray now in advance that God would restore us in those times. This will happen at an individual level. And all I would say about this first is that personally, when I came to Ashland, I knew nothing of this journey. But I did have this question that had begun to resonate with me, is that if Jesus came to give us life and life to the fullest, then why am I not experiencing that fullness of life? Why is it that many Christians that I know are not experiencing more of a fullness of that life? And no one would have known this, and to some extent, I didn't even fully know it yet either. But I had begun to really carry a lot of anger and bitterness. I was carrying, even as we came to Ashland, disappointment and sadness, and certainly a loss of joy. And that loss of joy was very much tied to the loss of joy in ministry. A ministry that I was called to with excitement and purpose, but a ministry that had become more like an obligation to the Lord. At that time, I just kind of resigned myself to the fact that, well, this is what the Lord's called me to, so we're just going to do it. And it had lost that sense of joy. Lord, if you came to give us life to the fullness, why am I not experiencing more of that? In the last 6 years in Ashland, for me, has been a personal healing journey in a lot of these areas in my life. And I can both celebrate, like the Israelites in Psalm 126, what the Lord has done, and I can both pray for what I know the Lord still needs to do and will do in my life. And so in a very personal way, the ministry that you'll hear more about today has impacted me really at a level that if I started to share, we would be here tomorrow at this time and I still wouldn't be done. But it's also impacting us at a congregational level. As I began on this journey, about a year into it, I really started to get a sense of the Lord placing a vision in my heart that First Presbyterian Church here in downtown Ashland would become a healing center for Ashland County, and began sharing that vision with a couple people here on staff and with our leadership. Little did I know then that standing here today, we would have run two healing care groups, a third small group called Healing Pathways, that we would have hosted two weekend seminars, we would have done extensive teachings on Wednesday nights on core longings in discovering our true self, that we would now be hosting additional seminars, would become the home for Healing Care and Healing Care Mandate International, and that would have many of our individuals receiving from both me and other caregivers individual spiritual direction and formational prayer, both with members of our congregation and people outside our church and the community. Little would I have known that we would have, in a very real way, be in this partnership with HC and HCMI. And so God is doing something in the midst of us, in the midst of this congregation. And our culture is changing, and we are changing, and God's transformation of people is happening in and among and through us. And so we give thanks to God, and we celebrate that. And we pray, and we look forward to what this may look like in the future. And then finally, you'll hear a little bit this morning about what this looks like in terms of what God's doing around the world through this ministry. And I'm not going to say much about that because you're going to hear more about that from Jeff. But it's exciting to know that, in real practical ways, we get to be a part of that. We've been given an opportunity and a privilege to play a part in that. And so that's exciting. So I'm excited about what you're going to hear. I'm going to invite Justin Dew up. He has agreed this morning to share a little bit about how this journey is impacting his life at a personal level. And so I'm excited for you to hear from Justin.
Good morning. As Mike said, probably about a month ago, I was invited and asked to share a little bit about my personal experience this morning, and I have to admit that initially I was a little hesitant speaking in front of large groups, and especially sharing such personal stories is not something that comes very easy for me, but I'm here, and I'm confident that the Holy Spirit will guide me through this, and that God will use my words to hopefully send some message to all of you that he wants you to hear this morning. Before being invited into this healing care journey, I was plagued by anxiety. I was riddled by negative thinking and a fatalist mentality, and I seemed to always view life through a worst-case scenario lens. I thought that most of this had to do with my life circumstances and some of the challenges that I was facing and had faced. Multiple times in the last 10 or so years, I had come under deep anxiety and depression that had been nearly paralyzing. There always seemed to be some life event that correlated to those episodes. And once that life event was passed, it seemed that somehow the fog was eventually lifted. The most recent of these episodes was closely linked to the struggles that Andrea and I had endured trying to start a family. Without going into too much detail, it suffices to say that that process was not as easy for us as it seems to be for so many others. So as months turned into years without Andrea becoming pregnant, I quickly ran out of reasons to be hopeful, and my imagination often drifted to a very dark vision of what our future might look like. Again, I found myself painting a mental image of the absolute worst case scenario. It seemed that no matter how much in my life I had to be thankful for, I was stuck thinking about all these negative things. People would tell me to just stop thinking about it, or say things like, be positive. And although I had plenty in life to be grateful for, it simply wasn't that simple. I wanted nothing more than to be happy and for my wife and my family to know how much I loved them and how truly grateful I was for them. As I became more and more fixated on these negative thought patterns, I began to feel guilty and ashamed of my anxiety and depression. I would ask myself often, if having children just isn't in God's plan for us, shouldn't Andrea be enough for me? And of course the answer was yes, but that didn't feel like a reality to me as I battled these deep emotions. Andrea and I both shared much of this pain with Pastor Mike. And about a year ago, he invited me into a relationship in which he would provide me with spiritual direction and guidance toward healing and processing these thoughts and emotions. This was my first intimate encounter with the healing care ministry. Pastor Mike and I began meeting once or twice a month for about an hour or 90 minutes. And during this time, Mike would always start sessions by asking me how I felt or how I was feeling. I was forced to explore my emotions and quickly began to learn that what I always thought was purely anxiety was actually a lot of other emotions as well. During that time, spiritual direction, Pastor Mike would challenge me with different journaling activities and various types of homework that helped me to understand the broad spectrum of my emotions that I had been experiencing and begin to process them a little at a time. Whenever I would start to feel bad, guilty and ashamed, or talk negatively about my emotions, Pastor Mike would always correct me. He would speak positivity into this and say, the only thing you can do with your emotions, or the only thing you can do with your feelings, is feel them. Spiritual direction in our time together continued to help position me through the teaching and introduction of contemplative prayer models and meditations. And Pastor Mike encouraged me to spend daily time with the Lord. In the past, my time with the Lord consisted mostly of reading my Bible and praying for my own needs. But Mike encouraged me to spend time just resting in the loving presence of Jesus Christ that I had begun to experience through the many contemplative prayers and models that he was teaching me. As spiritual direction continued, Pastor Mike also encouraged me to participate in the Healing Care Group last fall. Healing Care Group was similar to the spiritual direction time, but it would be within the context of a group. And during Healing Care Group, we participated in experiential learning activities that worked to seal the love of Christ in our hearts. And through these experiential learnings and the spiritual practices, God began to reveal to me events in my past that had been fueling that anxiety. The Lord was ready to show me some of why I felt the way I did and began to heal some of those deep wounds that I previously wasn't even aware I had. As the Lord continued to peel back layer after layer, I became aware of how events in my childhood, teenage, and young adult years had scarred me and caused me to believe lies and falsehoods about God's love for me. God began speaking truth into that and replaced those lies. This healing was all thanks to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but was in no small part also due to the Healing Care ministry, its structure, and its help positioning me to actually hear and receive that love of Christ. Now, if we fast forward to the present, I want to be clear. Although I've experienced a great deal of healing, I in no way will stand here and tell you that I am healed or that my journey is complete. The Lord continues to peel back layers of my emotions and past events, but he does this on his schedule, and I am learning that healing care is not a quick fix, at least not for me. And this journey will likely last a long, long time. And in between the times when he wants to reveal something new to me, I still find myself struggling with anxiety and fear from time to time. The difference is now that I'm much more aware of the roots of these emotions and why I feel them. And with the help of Jesus, I'm able to process those emotions better and deal with them before they cripple me like they often did in the past. The healing care journey is different for each person, This is only my story. And we all have a story. We all have stuff. So I'd like to encourage you to be in prayerful consideration over the coming weeks and months, asking God if healing care is a journey He wants you to take, and if He would like for you to join the healing care group this fall. Thank you for your time and allowing me to share just a little bit about my personal journey.
Thanks, Justin. He mentioned healing care groups starting back up in the fall. We do anticipate having at least one, maybe two, and there's potential for a third group to start in the fall. And so we would encourage you to be in prayerful consideration about whether or not God may be calling you to be a part of that. And one exciting thing about that is that there's a good possibility that several students from the seminary are going to be joining into that healing care group. And so there's going to be a nice diverse group of folks that are going to be gathered for that. So we look forward to that. Encourage you to be prayerfully considering that. Justin, that was awesome. Thanks. I want to introduce you to, well, I'm not really introducing him to most of you, to Jeff Franks. If you were here last week, you heard him share with you. He is, what are you, the director? The executive director? He oversees a lot of this healing care stuff. And so I'm going to invite him forward to primarily talk about how God's using this ministry and how God just keeps springing stuff up around the world that basically he has to then figure out what should we be doing with it to try to bring support around it. So,
well, good morning. I have no gifts for anyone today. And if you weren't here last week, then you will not get the joke. Is anyone here a fan of J.R.R. Tolkien? Anybody? A fan? Gift? Okay. Okay, three of you. Five? Okay. Okay, good. I see a couple more hands. I was going to bail out on the little intro here. Anyone read The Hobbit? Okay, all right, some of you have read The Hobbit. Okay, The Hobbit is about this story about this little dude named Bilbo Baggins. And he is just going about his life, and he gets this knock on the door from who? Do you remember who knocks on his door? Anybody remember? Guy with the pointy hat in the movie. Gandalf, good, okay. Bilbo is this nobody, essentially. Gandalf shows up at his door and he calls him into this journey. And it ends up being a journey that's way bigger than him. And I love the story. I love Tolkien's books, you know, all the Lord of the Rings and even beyond that, some of the other stuff that that he put together. And it reminds me of another story about a guy that all of you, I'm guessing, has heard of. And I didn't mark the text here. Okay, so this is Jesus here in Matthew chapter 4. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," which is really a weird image. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Okay, so Jesus has this way of calling people that are just doing their everyday stuff into things that are bigger than them. This has been my experience. I think Mike is finding this. That's one of the things about this ministry is they get called into things that just really grow and become a whole lot bigger than them. I went to, anybody heard of Northwestern High School before? It's like, was it, I think, one school district over, two school districts over. Graduated with about 80 people, did not have any plans. And God said, "I think I'm going to use you in this ministry that's going to get, it's going to be a lot bigger than you. The same thing is what happened to the person who started this ministry named Terry Wardle. You're also going to hear from Jonathan and Gemma in a moment. The same thing is happening to them. That's just what Jesus does. And I want to share that with you because there are no, we are at a ministry, HCM International Healing Care. These are ministries of just normal people that are just doing their thing, and God calls them into something bigger. And I want to illustrate that with a couple different things that he's doing right now. But before I do that, I want to give you three words that sums up what we're all about. And they're grow, equip, and connect. The first word, grow, it's this journey that God calls us into, which I think is illustrated by the Hobbit and this journey that Bilbo gets called into. And the journey essentially is this, that there's this God who created you and he really likes you. He is quite fond of you. And he wants to invite you into this journey where you get to discover who you are and how crazy he is about you, and that he wants to be a parent that is unlike any of the parents that we've experienced before, where we discover who he is, who we are. You know, Justin talked about this beautifully. It was amazing, that story. Thank you for sharing that. And it's a journey that's there for us. What I grew up with was this idea that God saved you just so you could go out and save other people. I don't believe that's true. I believe the first part of this, he saved us because he likes us. He loves us. He values us. He heals us from the wounds and the burdens that we carry because he loves his children, and he doesn't want his children to carry burdens. And so he wants to set us free from that. And so he invites us into a journey where we can find freedom, so that we can live free. You know, the scripture that says that he has set us free for freedom, for the sake of freedom. And so we call that grow, and we invite people to be on a journey where they experience him. The second word is equip. Once you get on this journey, we want to equip you for ministry. And to help you be positioned as a caregiver to bring the healing power of Jesus to other people. And then the last one is connect. And this is where we really come full circle. We want to help you get connected, or help other people get connected with those that need to experience that. And that's what a win is for us. It's not just so we can all be, you know, more well-adjusted people. It's ultimately that the kingdom can grow because we're taking what we've experienced out to others. And so grow, equip, and connect is those three words. Now, I've got some slides that I want to show you here. What I wanted to do is just give you an idea of these are the places around the country, and there might be a couple that I left off, but really places where this whole healing care ministry is taking root in a significant way. So in all the dots that you see on this map, those are places where there are things like healing care groups going, regional events going, like we've had a couple of them here, seminars, caregiver trainings, one-on-one work. These are really the places where there's significant work being done around the country and up into Canada there. And much of like what's happening here is happening in those different places. Now, the ones I really like to talk about are these next couple. This is really exciting. We have this thing called the International School of Formational Prayer. Now, there is nobody who is less equipped to do anything international than me. I'm telling you, we went, when I was, I did youth ministry, and we went on youth group mission trips. I was the least helpful person on those trips. But the Lord's called me into this, and we've started this thing called the International School of Formational Prayer, where people take courses online in all over the world to learn how to do this ministry. The students that are in there now, there, it's kind of hard to see, but the bottom picture is some folks from Singapore that are being trained in formational prayer. And above that is a family from South Africa that are doing this. So we're equipping them for their ministry online in doing this. If you want to hit the next slide, I'm just going to briefly put this family up here because you're going to see them in a moment. You're going to hear from them in a moment, so I won't say too much about this. Go ahead and hit the next slide. Here's one of the things that's happening that just kind of blows my mind. The couple, or the family that's on the right, that's a couple, they're on the left in that picture, and then their children are on there. I think one of them is one of their kids' spouses. We just met them in January. There's this couple that came. They'd never been to anything before. And so they come up to the table, and they say that they're missionaries from Mexico. And so we start talking. They translated on their own the healing care group material. So they had a resource to work with the people in the slums of Mexico City to bring the healing power of Jesus there. We didn't initiate any of it. They just got a hold of a copy of Healing Care Group, translated it, and now they're running groups. They're doing parent training to help parents to be able to raise their kids in a healthy way. It's just amazing, and it's just something that the Lord just decided, like, I'm going to do this. In the picture on the left, the person that you see her face, her name is Fernanda, and she works with victims of human trafficking. Another person that the Lord just brought to. We have this whole group of folks from this ministry in Mexico City that came to Colorado Formational Prayer Seminar. And they're being trained in this ministry to bring healing to people that have been victims of human trafficking. And then the next slide. This isn't anything specific. I just wanted to put this image in front of you and just mention a couple things that's happening. Mike was a part of our internship program. This fall, we're going to be launching an internship program, or the next cohort. And it looks like we're going to have people from four different countries in this internship cohort. And we're thrilled. We have people from around the United States and three other countries that are likely going to be a part of that. We have at our Formational Prayer Seminar people from usually from other continents at every Formational Prayer Seminar. And then our next thing that we're trying to do is work through a program where we have levels of endorsement that we're training people and giving endorsement for people to be training others around the world. So I guess what I wanted to share with you is many of us kind of feel like this Bilbo Baggins character or Peter. You know, Peter's just out there fishing. He's just this everyday guy, and the Lord called him into this thing that changed the world. And none of us would equate ourselves with, you know, the 12 disciples or anything like that. But what I want to challenge you with and put out in front of you is that the Lord calls us wherever we are. And sometimes he calls us into big things. And your church is positioning this ministry to reach every continent on that map. And I don't know if you realize that. The way that you stepped in and gave us a place with everything that happened at the seminary, but then also the work that that Pastor Mike is doing. And I don't know if you see that, if you get a chance to capture that, to get that image in your mind, that your church is equipping us to equip others to reach people around the world. Now, we'd love to see you get blessed by this ministry as well, if you haven't already. So, I think that covers it. I could go on for another hour just like you, but I won't do that because I want to introduce Jonathan and Gemma. And I don't know if the kids are coming up, but if they want to come. Oh, I see Julia shaking her head. No. But this is just an example of what the Lord's doing right now in grabbing people where they are and turning them loose. Do you want me to say anything, or do you want to just have all the honors here? Let me say a couple things. I met Jonathan, it would have been 3 years ago, right? Would it have been 3 years ago? About 3 years ago. Terry said, we've got somebody that is going to be an intern for us. And Jonathan and I had the chance to do some mentoring with Jonathan. And then Gemma has also, they've both become a part of our family. They've both done multiple trainings. Gemma is a graduate of our spiritual direction program. And I'm going to let you just share whatever you want to share at this point. So thanks for letting me talk a little bit. I'll turn it over to them, and I'll chat with you after church is over. Unless you're going to
As they do that, this is the problem with, like, Jeff was
a pastor, and I'm a pastor, is that we just don't stop talking. They've provided opportunities for you to just give your name and your address and email so that if you would like to, you can receive their newsletters as they step into the ministry they're about to talk to you about. So I'm just going to start one of these at the front on each side, and if you could just pass them back, and if you want to receive their newsletters, sign up. If not, just pass it to the person behind you.
Hi, everyone. First of all, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here with you today. And if my English is not good enough, I'm so sorry. I hope that you will understand me. First of all, we would like to introduce you our family. And, well, I'm Gemma, and Jonathan is my husband. He's from the Netherlands, and I'm from Spain. So we met in a mission conference, and we have been living in Spain for the last 10 years of our lives. Well, not these last three, but the other ones. And she's our daughter, Ona. She's 5 years old. Julia is sitting there. She just turned 7. And our baby is in the car seat sleeping, and we hope that he will continue sleeping for 10 more minutes. And his name is Eloy. So we want to share a little bit with you about our testimony and our call back to Spain. And we could just put our mask on and just say that, and just explain to you why we're the perfect couple to go back to Spain, why we're the perfect family to go back to Spain and do this ministry. But the truth is that we are broken people, and as Pastor Mike said, the Lord brought restoration in our lives. And so we are so thankful and... yeah, to him, that we cannot do something else. So we're so excited about being able to bring his healing to others. Yeah, we are. And this is how our journey started. We started with a personal crisis, marital crisis. We didn't know what was the problem. We're talking about 5 years ago now. But we had a lot of conflict between the two of us, and we were like, we don't know if it's just because we are from two different cultures, our families raise us in two different ways, and just it's difficult, you know, to be able to make this work. So we talked with my spiritual parents. They are from Barcelona, but they are missionaries in South America. So they said to us, well, you need to receive counseling. You need to come over here and just spend some time with us and receive counseling, and let's see what the Lord wants to do in your lives. So we spent a month with them. We met with them, I don't know how many hours a day. But it was through inner healing that the Lord revealed to us so many wounds from our childhood that they were still having a huge impact in our lives. And those wounds and that impact, I mean, then the two of us together, that was just an explosion. So the Lord started this process of healing in our lives, and we were so amazed of how he was transforming our lives in a way that we never saw it before. That we were like, wow, this is amazing, because we were doing ministry already in Spain, but we were struggling with so many things and so many dysfunctional behaviors. So just to experience that freedom that just the Lord can bring to us, that was just powerful. So we were like, this is what we want to do the rest of our lives. I mean, because there's so many people in Spain struggling and hiding because they feel ashamed. So many believers struggling, that we were like, we want to bring this healing to others. So we said to the Lord, Lord, we don't know where we can receive this training and get equipped to do this ministry, but yeah, here we are, just let us know. And the Lord brought us here, and that's when we met Jeff and Mike through Healing Care Ministries. And as Jeff said before, we have been equipped during these last 3 years, and now next month we are ready to go back to Spain and start ministry there.
I'll explain a little bit to you what we will be doing there. We also have that explained in a flyer that we made, and we'll have that downstairs for you. So if you want to take one home and have it as a memory and see what you can pray for, then please take this with you afterwards. So you've heard already what the ministry is about. You've heard testimonies about what this type of ministry does to people. So the question for us is, how will we bring this to Europe? What will be the best strategy to spread the word of what God can do through this type of ministry? And in part, we believe it's through our testimony. But another part, a big part of it, is that we believe that if we can reach the leaders, we have half of the battle won. I don't know if you know much about the spiritual situation in Europe, but most of the leaders of churches or ministries don't have a lot of accountability in their life. They're much on their own. So when they have struggles in their own lives, families, or in their congregation, they don't really have a lot of people to go to and find help. So I think through vulnerability, wise vulnerability, and accountability, a lot can be do, can be done. And inner healing is not that. Inner healing is not accountability, like as a focus. But if we can train people how to get to know themselves better, be honest with themselves, and get to know God better through that, then leaders can become healthier. And if leaders are healthier, or at least on a journey towards inner healing, then God's Spirit will be able to move more freely through them because they're honest with themselves. If people hang on to certain lies that they believe about themselves, then there's areas in their lives where they're stuck. And that's just noticeable. So we believe it's very important for the Holy Spirit to have a free movement in us, in our bodies, in our minds, in our thoughts, and in our lives, in the way we live out faith, you know. So God is good, and He wants all of us. He wants every part of us, you know, the parts that are hurting, the parts that are blocked, the parts that where we don't advance. For many years, I thought that was just the way I was, and I was not going to be able to change because I've tried to change myself, you know. But then I thought that there was a way to be transformed completely. And that's the message that we have for leaders. And we don't pretend to be the ones that are going to train the leaders. God will open the doors, and it will start small, but we believe it will be big. So we're really excited about this, and we're excited about you having taken the decision to form part of this. Your mission board has decided to support us as a church, both financially and in prayer. So we are thrilled about that, and we want to thank you for that. So a big reason why we are here is to thank you. And this year we will receive a donation from you, and hopefully every year we will receive a donation, and we're very excited about that. Now, Jeff talked about being connected. We would like you to be connected to us, and not just in thoughts or in prayers, but if you would like to hear about us regularly, then sign up for the newsletters. And we would love that, and pray for us, because it's a hard field. We've lived there for most of our lives. The difference between living in the States or living in Europe is big, especially when you're in a small town like this where there's a lot of believers. You know, it's different there. So secularism is very strongly present. The Christians that are there are very much influenced by secularism, so they have a hard time to influence society because they're being influenced by society. And you can see that on all different levels, like in leadership or church membership, or just people that have interest in the faith but then they lose interest. So it's a hard field, and we need prayer warriors, and I know some people in the church are prayer warriors. So we need you, and that will make a difference. That is what will bring breakthroughs in our ministry, what will keep us healthy, what will keep us strong as a family. So thanks for being a part of that, and hopefully that partnership can grow in the future. If you have any questions, we'll be downstairs, and we will be happy to talk to you. Thank you.
So I want to ask you guys to stay put. We want to come here. I'm going to invite Linda to say a couple words, and then we're going to pray for them as they are sent back soon.
To be thinking about if you might be one of those people that come down and pray for the Donkers. The elders, anybody who would like to come and pray, we'll have a time of prayer. The Evangelism and Outreach Committee heard the Donkers at one of our meetings, and our hearts were joined with theirs and was excited about what they want to do in Spain. And we wanted to support them, and we are giving them $1,000 for this year, and we will be happy to do that and be on their prayer support. The Evangelism and Outreach Committee is so excited. We work with a great bunch of people on that committee, and they're excited about missions and all the opportunities, and this is one of them, and it's thrilling to be part of this. So thank you for coming and sharing with us and introducing yourselves to our lives. It enriches us. Could someone come on down and pray, lay your hands on the Donkers and pray God's blessing on them as they go to Spain?
Yeah, we just invite you to come be a part of that if you guys can gather so that we can all.
I'll start, and if there's one or two others that would like to pray, you do so. Julie's going to join us. The baby's still sleeping. Oh, the baby's coming too. Great.
Thank you, Mommy.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, I'll start, and anybody else that would like to pray, we'll do that together. Oh, Lord, we just praise you and bless you because you are a God of peace. And we pray a special blessing of your peace on this family, on the Donker family. You have emphasized peace so much in your word, and it's an important part. Seek peace and pursue it. It's a journey for all of us. And I pray this special anointing of peace upon them. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit who teaches us, guides us, enlightens us, and draws us to you, O Lord God, and bless them with a burst of your energy into their lives as they minister. And Lord, help them as they adjust to their own culture going back after being gone for 3 years. This is not easy. Lord, you know what's in front of them. And I pray that you will especially give them compassion and mercy abounding in their hearts before any judgment. That you will help them as they relate and go back and live in their own culture. Lord, bless the family, the children, help them in their adjustment and the language and everything that's going to encounter them as they go back to Spain. Just give wisdom to the parents in helping them in their adjustment. Just bring a great blessing on these children. You love children, Lord. You can speak to them so abundantly and they respond, and I thank you for them. Is there anyone else that would like to pray?
Lord, we just lift up Gemma and Jonathan to you as we celebrate Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming down and filling your people. We ask for that upon them. Holy Spirit, we ask you come. Fill their hearts ablaze. Help them as they raise up teachers and leaders to go and do formational prayer and position people to experience you. Lord, we ask that you'd hold them, help them to just hold you, even at times that are tough. Lord, may they continue to hold you and walk with you and sit with you and at times run with you. Lord, we love them and we thank you for them being in our lives. Amen.
Oh God, we pray for the Donker family as they go back to Spain for this awesome ministry, that you will bless them with your ever-present grace and sustain them with your love and your power, and that they may do good works for the kingdom there. And we send them our love and our blessings. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful family that you have called on a mission. And as Jake said, we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit that was unleashed at Pentecost and transformed so many lives on that day, that that same power fill them and fill their lives and grow their mission and give them wisdom and give them love and give them courage, and that they know that we are here, Lord, praying for them daily as they fulfill the mission that you have given them.
Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and for your blessing. We just bless you and praise you because you're a good God. Just pour goodness over this family in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you all to come downstairs to look at the healing care offices and to have some goodies, cookies and brownies and fruit and some punch and get to know the Donkers better. Welcome, all of you.
But not yet.
Not yet.
Just like cookies and punch, everyone's going to get up and leave. We are going to invite you to stand and join us in singing this hymn that has been so meaningful to us, a great hymn of commissioning, Here I Am, Lord. Please stand and join us.